Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
So the Academy Awards happened last night, and it was less of a failure than usual. It was more entertaining than usual. Sure, it was still like 9 hours long, but it had its moments. Oppenheimer walked away with Best Picture last night. Christopher Nolan properly walked away with Best Director last night. Cillian Murphy walked away with Best Actor last night. So Oppenheimer did really well. Barbie, which was my second biggest priority, failed. Barbie did not do well last night. And there are people in the office who will die on the hill of saying that the reason Barbie got nominated for so many awards is specifically because I made a 45-minute review actually burning Barbies. And so then every member of the Academy felt a moral obligation to nominate Barbie in categories it had no business being in. It won one award for Best Original Song, which, of course, was pretty much the only thing that Barbie should have been up for in the first place. Best Supporting Actress went to Divine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers. But overall, it was not nearly as bad as the Oscars of past years have been. However, the Oscars is still a trash fire filled with trash human beings. And this is the message for today. Hollywood is a place filled with people who do not share your values. In fact, they do not like your values. Yes, they are very beautiful. And yes, they are very glamorous. And also, they have very, very small moral brains. Their small moral brains are not capable of understanding the world around them. They live in this little artistic bubble, the Bohemian Grove of Los Angeles, in which everyone is tolerant of everyone else's excesses, and which everyone thinks exactly the way that they do. And if only everyone thought like Hollywood, then they too would have massively dysfunctional marriages, drug problems, and screwed up children. Then everything would be better. That is the way that Hollywood thinks about itself. They are the expositors of higher morality to you, the tiny little peons of people, to you, the humdrum little people. And there was a lot of that last night. So I want to go through the good, and then we'll get to the very, very moral bad of the Oscars. So the good. First of all, let's just point out that Jimmy Kimmel should never host an Oscars again. Jimmy Kimmel is not good at hosting the Oscars because he's an unpleasant human being. You know who actually is quite pleasant on camera, despite the fact that he's had a bunch of moral foibles of his own, which he's admitted to, obviously, is John Mulaney. So the highlight of the Oscars award evening was John Mulaney, who had a minute and 30 seconds. And John Mulaney was the best thing on the show. Here was Mulaney last night introducing the category for Best Sound Design.
Now the Oscar for Achievement in Sound. You know, for years, movies didn't have sound, and then they figured it out. Some people say that the silent era was the golden era of film. These people are difficult and insane. Without sound, we wouldn't have been able to hear such classic lines as, "You're gonna need a bigger boat. I'll have what she's having." And "He was in the Amazon with my mother when she was researching spiders just before she died." Or what about that moment in Field of Dreams when we hear, "If you build it, he will come." And then Costner does it. He builds a baseball field. Well, I guess he doesn't build it. He mows down corn, and then there is a field. And then he's like, "I'm going to watch Ghost play baseball." And the bank is like, "You want to pay your mortgage?" And he's like, "Nah, I'm going to watch Ghost play baseball." And then he finds James Earl Jones, who wrote The Boat Rocker, which I thought was a real book deep into my 20s. And he's like, "People will come, Ray. He's the only one with a financial plan." But what's weird is Timothy Busfield pushes little Gabby Hoffman off the bleachers, and she falls down, and she's unconscious. Then Burt Lancaster is Moonlight Graham, and he comes up and he pats her on the back a couple times, and he's like, "Hot dog, stuck in the throat." And then he can't go back in the game, because I guess there's a rule in ghost baseball that if you leave the field at any point to become an elderly ghost and do the Heimlich maneuver, you can't return to the field. I love Field of Dreams. That should win Best Picture, though they'll probably go with one of this year's. Here are the nominees for Achievement in Sound.
So that was the best thing at the Oscars last night by far. And he should definitely host the Oscars next year. Again, I'm going to do some highlights here because it wasn't all bad last night. Ryan Gosling performing I'm Just Ken, because again, the Barbie movie is actually about how Ken is better than Barbie. Here is Ryan Gosling performing this. And this is, you know, kind of a throwback to a time when the Oscars was a little fun.
No one knows how hard I try. Oh, I have feelings I can't explain, driving me insane. All my life been so polite.
And that's Mark Bronson right there.
Tonight. I'm just kidding. Anywhere else I'd be a take. Is it my destiny to live and die a life?
Yeah, this is
I'm just kidding. Where I see the love she sees.
Okay, so honestly, this is the this was one of the better things at the Oscars, and then obviously everybody pointing out that he goes down to the crowd, and then he's singing with Emma Stone, who he was in with while he was in La La Land with. Okay, fine. So this is what the Oscars used to be, was actually stars doing star kind of things. And again, I hated Barbie, but this was actually entertaining and somewhat interesting. The other highlights, this is kind of a highlight, lowlight. For some reason, John Cena was naked on stage. I don't know why that was a thing. I was mostly just confused as to why somebody thought this should be a gag, but apparently it was a thing that happened. Again, at least they're trying. They're trying. Here is John Cena. Now, maybe this should have been low lights, actually. It was awkward.
Costumes. They are so important. Maybe the most important thing there is. I can't open the envelope without
God.
The...
The nominees for best costume design are...
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, again, at least they are trying. It's more on this in a moment. First, spring is in the air, and with that comes spring cleaning. Now, there are lots of ways you can refresh your home for spring. You can clean, reorganize, even paint. And that's great, but here is the best thing you can do. Get some new bedding. Boll & Branch makes the softest, most breathable bedding you will ever experience. I absolutely love my Boll & Branch sheets. You can feel the difference in quality compared to all the other sheets. In fact, we took all of our other sheets and we threw them out because these luxury sheets are fantastic, buttery, breathable. They get softer every time you wash them. I can't sleep without them. Literally cannot, which is why when I'm on the road, I even bring Boll & Branch blankets in my suitcase. Upgrade your sleep today with Boll & Branch's signature sheets. These best-selling sheets are made from the finest quality 100% organic cotton, completely free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals. Boll & Branch's signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin all the way on up to California King. With their 30-night worry-free guarantee, you can wash, style, and sleep in Boll & Branch sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, send them right back, but you'll love them. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code Ben at BollandBranch.com. That's BollandBranch.com. Promo code Ben. Exclusions apply. See site for details. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it was like having a first aid kit but not actually keeping it stocked. Most of the time, probably fine. What if you suddenly get into a horrible accident and there is nothing in the first aid kit? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, or airports, you're essentially leaving your personal data wide open for any hacker on the same network to access. Don't wait for a security breach to happen. Protect yourself with ExpressVPN. Your data isn't just data. It's valuable information hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling on the dark web. That's why you need to protect it with ExpressVPN. I love that ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between my device and the internet, so hackers can't steal my sensitive data. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. ExpressVPN is incredibly easy to use. Just fire up that app, click one button, get protected. Plus, it works on all devices, including phones, laptops, tablets, and more, so you can stay secure on the go. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/Ben. Once more, expressvpn.com/Ben. Okay, now we get to the bad. So the Oscars is always filled with dumb politics, like terrible, stupid politics. And included the usual kind of litany of left-wing garbage. There's a point where Jimmy Kimmel, for example, gets up and he reads a Trump post because Donald Trump, because this is what Donald Trump does, was live posting on Truth Social about the Oscars. And here was Jimmy Kimmel just doing sort of a rote, dumb late-night joke about Donald Trump. And again, no jokes about Biden. There's one joke about Trump, really. They tried to keep it to a minimum, to be fair. But here was Kimmel last night going after Trump.
I just got a review and... Has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Slopanopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again. See if you can guess which former president just posted that on Truth. Anyone? No? Well, thank you, President Trump. Thank you for watching. I'm surprised you're still watching. Isn't it past your jail time?
And then, of course, you get the obligatory jersey. Here's the thing. That joke, and then everybody's, because he's been indicted a lot. Oh, we love when he's indicted, because even though it's not legal, but yeah, and it's corrupt. But okay, so here's the thing. That joke was done by the time he said Trump, right? Because it is funny that Donald Trump posts on Truth Social about it. But instead of just letting it go there, he has to get that last little stupid jab in, because that's, of course, what Jimmy Kimmel does. But that's not really where the moral lack at the Oscars came up. The moral lack at the Oscars came up because Hollywood has decided to root for Hamas. That is not a great shock. I think that a lot of people in the United States, they're tired of watching, obviously, the conflict between Israel and Hamas over in the Middle East, because they think, what do we care? I mean, obviously, that's very, very far away. That's in a different part of the world entirely. And the point that I've been making repeatedly since October 7th is that it really is not about what's happening vis-a-vis Israel and Hamas. The real conflict that is happening in the West is a conflict over our own moral value system. If we cannot see the distinction between Israel and Hamas, and if there are hundreds of thousands of young people marching in the streets in support of an actual honest-to-God genocidal terror group that rapes women and murders babies and throws gay people off of buildings and does all of those sorts of things on the routine, and they wish to maintain control of the Gaza Strip, and you are rooting for them, this says something about the vacuum at the heart of the West. That if, in fact, there is a moral conflict over that particular conflict, that demonstrates a lackluster moral center in the West that is going to lead to the dissolution of the West as a whole. Any civilization that cannot tell the difference between Israel and Hamas is a civilization that is doomed to decline and disrepair. Okay, that's the case that I've been making since. So naturally, Hollywood is on the side of Hamas. So there are a bunch of idiots, moral idiots, who are wearing around Gaza ceasefire pins. Now, understand, when they're calling for a ceasefire, what they really mean is they want to leave Hamas in place in the Gaza Strip. Hamas is currently holding 134 hostages. We don't know how many are alive and how many are dead. They're currently holding women and the elderly in captivity and babies in captivity. They have raped an enormous number of these women who are coming back. And they're rejecting every ceasefire possible. So when these people wear a ceasefire pin trying to put pressure on Israel, they're neglecting, of course, the point, which is that Hamas has rejected every ceasefire proposal that takes them out of power. So Billie Eilish, who is just an idiot on every, she can sing and she's a moron. She was wearing a ceasefire pin. She's not the only one. There are a bunch of these dolts who are wearing ceasefire pins at the Oscars. Mark Ruffalo, of course. Mark Ruffalo is just a full-on anti-Semite at this point. Mark Ruffalo has been anti-Israel and anti-Semitic for years and years and years. There were zero pins in favor of the hostages who are currently being held. Right? That was the big thing right after October 7th. There are a lot of people who are wearing yellow pins in solidarity with the hostages. That's been completely forgotten, including the six American hostages who are currently being held in the Gaza Strip. But they are full standing for Hamas. There were protesters outside of the Oscars in favor of Hamas. Honestly, I don't know why they bothered. All the protesters could have been inside. I mean, a majority of Hollywood is in support of Hamas at this point. So these protesters held up the start of the event for a few minutes, apparently. And then, of course, the greatest exemplar of a person with not only no moral character and no moral spine, but anti-morality is Jonathan Glazer. So Jonathan Glazer is the director of a movie called Zone of Interest, Zone of Interest is an excellent film. Zone of Interest, based sort of on a Martin Amis novel, is about the Hess family. Rudolf Hess was the head of the Auschwitz concentration camp. And the movie Zone of Interest, for which he won a Best International Oscar, the movie is about the Hess family and them living at Auschwitz in a house. And the entire movie is just them at the house. And the Holocaust doesn't exist, except that we all know the Holocaust exists in the background. You'll see a smokestack, or you'll hear people screaming randomly in the background. You'll hear people being shot far away. And the movie is really good, because what the movie is demonstrating is how easy it is for people to ignore a Holocaust that's happening and that they are benefiting from, so long as they benefit from it and get to enjoy their lives. The entire movie is about the banality of evil. The problem is that Jonathan Glazer wins the Oscar, and we'll listen to what he has to say. Jonathan Glazer is the villain in his own movie, and he doesn't even know it. So here is Jonathan Glazer getting up there and then, of course, ripping the state of Israel for defending itself against genocidal anti-Jewish terrorists.
All our choices were made to reflect and confront us in the present, not to say, look what they did then, rather look what we do now. Our film shows where dehumanization leads at its worst. It shaped all of our past and present. Right now, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people. Whether the victims of October the 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza, all are victims of this dehumanization. How do we resist? Alexandra Bistron Kaladze-Hechek, the girl who glows in the film as she did in life, chose to. I dedicate this to her memory and her resistance. Thank you.
Okay, so that guy is moral trash. The reason he's moral trash is when he says he wants to refute the Jewishness of him and people who are up there, refute their Jewishness and the use of the Holocaust in order to defend what Israel is doing right now. He's the villain in his own film. We'll get some more on this in just a moment. First, the financial experts said we were in the clear. While experts anticipated rate cuts, inflation in the United States remains a significant economic concern. Think about it. The United States right now is in the hole by $34 trillion. But we're going to keep spending. We're going to keep printing. And that's going to keep pushing up those prices. So you can bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversification, always a smart financial strategy. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation. Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert your existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. You're not going to pay a penny out of pocket. Gold is part of my savings strategy. I get it from Birch Gold. They've been the exclusive gold partner of the Daily Wire for over 7 years now, literally helping thousands of our listeners. They can help you as well. Text Ben to 989898. Get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metal specialist about protecting your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Ben to 989898. Right now, diversification, always a smart strategy. Text Ben to 989898 to get started. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, we're all familiar with how difficult hiring can be. Unfortunately, a lot of businesses have been down on their luck trying to find excellent talent. Fortunately, if you are a business owner or a hiring manager, you don't need luck to find top talent for your team. You need ZipRecruiter. Right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. ZipRecruiter's user-friendly technology guides you to finding top talent. When you post your job, ZipRecruiter's intuitive matching technology presents you with a list of qualified candidates. Once you've reviewed your list of qualified candidates, you can swiftly invite your top choices to apply. This streamlined process encourages them to apply sooner, allowing you to fill that role faster. Aren't you curious to see how ZipRecruiter could help you out? Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter will get a quality candidate within day one. Once again, just go to this exclusive web address and try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. ZipRecruiter is indeed the smartest way to hire. We've been using it here at Daily Wire for legitimately years. Go check them out right now. ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. There's a thing that happens on the left wing. There's an author named Dara Horn who's written a book called People Love Dead Jews. Excellent book. Uncomfortable title. The reason that the title is uncomfortable is because she starts off that book by telling the story of the Anne Frank House. So the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam, of course, is the house that was occupied by Anne Frank while the Nazis were looking for Jews in Amsterdam. And in the modern day, there's a museum there. And a few years ago, there was a major controversy at the Anne Frank House. The major controversy was that there was a young Orthodox Jewish kid who was at the front door as a greeter at the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam. And he was wearing his kippah. And people got uncomfortable with him wearing his kippah. And the Anne Frank House told the Jewish kid to cover up his yarmulke. They told him to wear a baseball cap. And Dara Horn's point here is that people love dead Jews. In other words, the best Jews are the ones who are silent and dead. The ones who actually are living and standing up for their own ability to live. The ones who actually defend themselves, those are the ones who make people like Jonathan Glazer very uncomfortable. So the entirety of Zone of Interest is about the absence of Jews. Not a Jew appears in Zone of Interest, his film. The Jews are silent. The best Jews, according to Jonathan Glazer, are the ones who are nameless, faceless, and dead. Those are the ones who are really good because they're victims. Those are the ones that he can then rifle through their bodies for an Oscar while simultaneously ignoring the Jews getting slaughtered in the Gaza envelope or the Jewish men who are being killed in the Gaza Strip or wounded by the tens of thousands in the Gaza Strip. But he gets to sit there and morally preen over. He gets to live in his house amidst the chaos, ignoring the live Jews, the ones who actually are screaming right now. He can ignore those ones in favor of the dead Jews. That's what he's doing right there. Let me say this. When people use their Jewishness as a cover to rip on Israel's ability to defend itself, when they use their Jewishness, and invariably, these are people who don't know anything about Judaism, who are born Jewish, but have very little Jewish practice, who spend zero time in the Jewish community, but then pull out their as a Jew card in order for them to demonstrate their fealty to left-wing principles or anti-Israel principles. Whenever people say, quote unquote, as a Jew, you should ask them, okay, how often do you go to synagogue? How much do you care about your Judaism? How much does any of that mean to you? The people like Jonathan Glazer out there, again, they are part of this broad moral trash pantheon in Hollywood. The system that believes that the West itself is bad. The West itself is the problem. You don't see Jonathan Glazer up there talking about the evils of Hamas or, hell, the evils of the Assad government in Syria, which has killed far more people than what's going on in the Gaza Strip right now. You see Jonathan Glazer talking about Israel. Why? Because he gets to rifle through the bodies and he gets to look good while being the villain in his own film. It's pretty impressive stuff. Hollywood is completely disconnected from morality, but they do have an impact on how people view morality. And that is why Hollywood remains a rather dangerous place for the creation of culture. Okay, speaking of all of this, the Biden administration continues to be just morally idiotic when it comes to the conflict in the Middle East. First of all, it is worthwhile noting that anti-Semitism around the globe continues to be extremely prevalent. And it continues to be fostered by authorities. So the West has basically decided that it's going to make a choice. The West's choice is going to be between appeasing terrorist supporters and standing up to terrorist supporters. In the United States, that battle comes down to whether you're going to appease the radicals in Dearborn, Michigan, in order so that Joe Biden can win in Michigan in the general election. By the way, not going to help him. The reason he's losing Michigan is not because he's losing Arabs in Dearborn. It's because he's losing blue-collar white voters in Michigan. Okay, but that's the battle in the United States. In Britain, the question is whether people even get to exercise free speech anymore, or if they cross the radical Muslims in London, if they're going to be arrested. So over the weekend, the British police arrested an anti-Hamas activist who committed the grave crime of holding up a sign at a massive anti-Israel pro-Hamas protest. His sign said, "Hamas are terrorists." So the police took his sign away from him and arrested him. Here's what it looked like.
Sir, why have you been arrested? Because I'm writing down Hamas is terrorist organization. That's it.
What did it say on your sign?
Hamas is terrorist. Hamas is terrorist. UK law. UK put the Hamas terrorist organization on March 2001. And they arrested me because of that. That's it.
They've arrested you because of the sign.
Exactly. They attacked me. The Hamas supporters attacked me. And they arrested me.
Because Britain has decided to concede to the terrorists. This is why London has apparently become a no-go zone for Jews every weekend, according to Robin Simcox, the United Kingdom's counterterrorism commissioner. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, spring is here. That means spring cleaning, warmer weather. The flowers and leaves are beginning to bloom. So, of course, you should be thinking about death. I'm just joking, but you actually should. You should be thinking about life insurance with Policy Genius. Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind. So if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses while getting back on their feet. Luckily, Policy Genius helps you compare options from top companies and their team of licensed experts on hand to help you talk through it. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents and technology that makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Even if you already have life insurance through work, it might not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it might not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, You can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have the incentive to recommend one insurer over another. Save time, save money, provide your family with financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's policygenius.com/Shapiro. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, I need to talk to you about something terrible, something absolutely terrible. I, of course, am speaking about asparagus. But, you know, that's okay. I don't need asparagus. I make up for my vegetable deficiencies by taking Balance of Nature fruits and veggies. Balance of Nature fruits and veggies are the most convenient way to ensure you get your daily intake of fruits and veggies. Balance of Nature uses an advanced cold vacuum process that encapsulates fruits and vegetables into whole food supplements without sacrificing those natural antioxidants. The capsules are completely void of additives, fillers, extracts, synthetics, pesticides, or added sugar. The only thing in Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies capsules are, you know, the fruits and the veggies. You need nutrients to function at your best every single day. Balance of Nature helps to do just that. Like right now, I'm on the road. Normally, I might get sick, but I've been taking Balance of Nature, so I feel pretty good. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Shapiro to get 35% off your first set of fruits and veggies and an additional $10 off every additional set you buy. That's balanceofnature.com, promo code Shapiro. Go check them out right now. If you, like me, are having a hard time getting to that daily quotient of fruits and veggies, you need to check out Balance of Nature right now. That's balanceofnature.com, promo code Shapiro. In an opinion piece published on Thursday by the UK Telegraph, Simcox described the atmosphere in Britain since Hamas's October 7th onslaught, which has led to skyrocketing anti-Semitism in the UK. He said inflammatory and borderline criminal rhetoric widely shared on social media, a sense that the terrorism threat is rising, protests becoming ever more vociferous, with From the River to the Sea beamed onto the side of Big Ben during a vote on Gaza, MPs more fearful for their safety than ever. He said London has become a no-go zone. That, of course, is true. London has become a disaster area. Anti-Israel activists are destroying portraits. So there's a portrait of Lord Balfour. Arthur Balfour is, of course, the creator of the Balfour Declaration. The Balfour Declaration, which was created by Britain at the very tail end of World War I, right out in the aftermath of World War I, when Britain was given a mandate to govern what became British Mandate Palestine, suggested that a Jewish national home would be allowed by the British Mandate in British Mandate Palestine. So here is a pro-Hamas protester destroying a century-old piece of art. Like, full destroying it. This is not one of these environmentalist protesters who go to the Mona Lisa, spray a little bit of stuff on the museum glass, do no damage to the actual art. This is a person who's actively destroying the art. This would be University of Cambridge, I believe. Like, full-on spray painting the art, slashing it with a knife. And see, that's who these people are, and this is who Britain has decided to cater to. This is who Britain has decided to cater to. People who full-on destroy century-old artwork in the name of multiculturalism and tolerance. And that's precisely who the West is fighting right now. It is Hamasniks and their fellow travelers. That is what the battle is right now. They're not making their intentions unclear. In Amsterdam, a Holocaust museum opened over the weekend. Hamas protested it. All of the pro-Hamasniks protested the opening of a Holocaust museum in Amsterdam. Because let's face it, these people would have been fine with the Holocaust. They're fine with it right now. They're fine with Hamas being a genocidal terrorist group. And internationally speaking, Erdogan, who's the leader of Turkey, he says openly that Turkey firmly backs Hamas and, of course, compares Bibi Netanyahu to Hitler. And then we come to the United States and Joe Biden. So let's be clear about the situation in Israel and Gaza right now. Right now, Hamas continues to hold hostages. Hamas has turned down every American brokered offer of a ceasefire, a temporary ceasefire, in the hopes that they'll be saved by Ramadan. That's really what's going on right now. According to the Wall Street Journal, Hamas leaders are betting that the holy month of Ramadan can turn the momentum of the war in Gaza in their favor, keeping diplomatic pressure on Israel to stop its offensive and help secure the militant Islamist group's survival. They know full well what they are doing. They are counting on the moral idiocy of people like Joe Biden and the morons in Hollywood and the people in the media. They're counting on that coalition of stupidity and moral vacuity. They're counting on those people to pressure Israel into stopping because, hey, guys, it's a holy month of Ramadan, which is when Muslims get to attack everybody else, but nobody else gets to attack Muslims. That's the way that it works during Ramadan in the Middle East. Right? Everyone else's holidays ought to be trashed. People ought to be murdered on those holidays. But during Ramadan, hands off, hands off. That's the idea. Hamas's chief in Gaza, Yahya Sinwar, is calculating that Ramadan, which begins with the new moon sighting expected Monday, could spark violence near religious sites in Jerusalem, expanding the conflict beyond Gaza and drawing Iran and Hezbollah deeper and more directly into his war against Israel, according to political analysts. So this is all coming amidst Hamas falsifying its casualty numbers. So it's very obvious at this point. There's a great piece in Tablet by Abraham Weiner, who's a statistician looking at the numbers in Gaza from Hamas. And he points out that the numbers are clearly not real. If Hamas's numbers are faked or fraudulent, there may be evidence in the numbers themselves that can demonstrate it. And as you see, there actually is. They've been reporting linear deaths every single day. Every single day. It's like a perfect arithmetic line. That is not how death counts work. As we've pointed out before, when things happen, like down here in Florida, there were a tower that collapsed in Surfside and it killed a bunch of people. It took them literally weeks to figure out how many people had died in a tower collapse in Surfside. But immediately, every single day, Hamas is releasing casualty numbers. They can't even tell you how many hostages they say are alive or dead, but they're still releasing casualty numbers. And the administration is just taking them up and using them right now. As this columnist writes, this regularity is almost surely not real. One would expect quite a bit of variation from day to day. In fact, the daily reported casualty counts over this period averages 270 plus or minus about 15%. This is strikingly little variation. There should be days with twice the average or more and others with half or less. Perhaps what is happening is the Gaza ministry is releasing fake daily numbers that vary too little because they don't have a clear understanding of the behavior of naturally occurring numbers. Unfortunately, verified control data is not available to formally test this conclusion, but the details of the daily counts render the numbers suspicious. This is exactly right. The number of children, by the way, reported to have been killed is totally unrelated to the number of women who are reported to have been killed, which is super weird because the women and the children should be in the same rooms together. The daily number of women casualties, again, should be highly correlative with the number of non-women and non-children as well. Right? Because if a lot of people died in a bombing, it should be a lot of people. But that's not what's happening either. Hamas is faking these numbers, and the West is simply taking them at face value. Because Joe Biden has decided that he is going to now draw daylight with Israel. The way he's going to do this and look okay to his liberal Jewish donors and liberal Jews who wish to remain voting Democrat, is he's going to pretend that the conflict in Gaza is about Bibi Netanyahu. He understands that a lot of American Jews who are on the left don't like Benjamin Netanyahu, the leader of the current Israeli government. Now, there are a bunch of problems with this. Problem number one, Benjamin Netanyahu is the elected leader of the state of Israel. It is incredible to me that Joe Biden goes around talking about the value of democracy. Whenever he talks about Ukraine and Russia, for example, it's autocracy is attacking democracy. Then he ignores the fact that an autocracy attacked a democracy on October 7th. He did that in his State of the Union. But even more so, he is actively interfering in the workings of another democracy. And this is a guy who's talked about the evils of interfering in American elections. Joe Biden is actively attempting to bring down the prime minister of Israel right now because of personal animus. He's not the first to do it. Barack Obama tried to do it as well. In fact, if you go back to Bill Clinton tried to do it in the late 90s. He basically got Ehud Barak elected prime minister in Israel. So there's problem number one, which is Bibi Netanyahu is the elected leader of Israel. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, $20 barely gets you anything these days. You can't even fill your gas tank or get a burger and fries for less than $20. But do you know what $20 will get you? Well, from the cell phone company I use, PureTalk, you can get unlimited talk, text, plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. PureTalk gives you the same quality of service as your current cell phone provider, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can switch to PureTalk and keep the phone and phone number you currently use, or you can take advantage of their great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Making the switch is incredibly easy. Their U.S. customer service team can help you join PureTalk in as little as 10 minutes. Choose to spend your hard-earned money with a wireless company that shares your values, supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Stop spending a ridiculous amount of money on your phone plan. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro. Right now, my listeners can get an additional 50% off their very first month of coverage. Again, that's puretalk.com/Shapiro. Go check them out right now. puretalk.com/Shapiro. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, football season may be over. Basketball action is still in full swing. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there is no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. If you want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley, you can now find Community Plays under the Promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community every week. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance, so your entries stay into play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you've got a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't come back in the second, that player projection won't count against you. The rest of your entry stays live. Producer Jake loves Prize Picks. He likes the easy-to-use interface. He's been getting in on that March Madness action. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code Ben for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Use code Ben on the Prize Picks app for a first deposit match up to $100. Problem number two. Israelis overwhelmingly support wiping out Hamas. This notion that if it were not for Bibi, Israel would not be considering going into Rafah. Everyone, right, left, and center, knows Israel has to go into Rafah. Why? Because that's the last vestige of the terrorists. That's where the terrorists are. You have to go in there and finish it off. This is the equivalent for Israel of the Allies in World War II getting outside Berlin and then going, you know what, guys, I'm sorry, we can't go into Berlin. Too much human damage. We can't go into Berlin. Or getting outside of Tokyo and being like, you know what, we're just going to sit here and just wait. You know, like, there's really, what can we do? That's insane. No country worth its salt would do that, which is why going into Rafah has 85% approval in Israel. This notion that Bibi Netanyahu is the singular spur toward action in Rafah is idiotic and not true. And then furthermore, as a corollary of that, the entire Israeli government supports this, including Benny Gantz, who just came and visited the United States and visited Britain as well. Benny Gantz is the chief rival to Netanyahu. If there were an election held today, Benny Gantz would be prime minister of the state of Israel. He is not on the hard right. Benny Gantz is at best a center-right candidate. More likely, he's more of a center-left candidate. He agrees with Netanyahu. Gadi Eisenkot is not on the same side as they have a war cabinet right now, a unity government, which if you took it to an American context, it's like we'd be at war. And suddenly, there was not a president of the United States anymore. There's a presidential commission that made all of the war decisions. And that presidential commission included President Biden and Donald Trump. That's what it's more like right now. In other words, but Biden has to make some excuse to the Dearborn, Michigan voters as to why he's doing what he's doing. And he has to make some excuse to liberal Jews as to why he's doing what he's doing. And so what he's decided to do is draw this middle line where he draws daylight between himself and Netanyahu and then pretends that what's going on in Gaza is a reflection of Netanyahu personally. So Biden over the weekend admitted that a ceasefire looks tough right now. Here he was.
Will there be a ceasefire by Ramadan?
It's looking tough, but...
Are you concerned about violence in East Jerusalem without one?
I sure am.
Well, then maybe you put some pressure on your beloved Palestinian Authority to stop it, shouldn't you? Since the Palestinian Authority is largely in control of the rioters who go up on the Temple Mount. Hamas, largely in control of those rioters. There's a reason that everything that's happening there is coordinated on particular dates. Then Biden in an interview admitted that the people who want a permanent ceasefire, the people who are helped by the ceasefire are Hamas. He admits it openly. Then he tries to walk it back in an interview with Jonathan Capehart on MSNBC.
Who actually wants a deal? Do you think Hamas actually wants a ceasefire?
Well, I think Hamas would like a total ceasefire across the board because they would see they have a better chance to survive and maybe rebuild. But that's not what I think the vast majority of people think. You have to look.
Oops.
After what happened in World War II and the carpet bombing that took place, what happened was we ended up in a situation where we changed the rules of the game, what constitutes legitimate rules of war. And they should be abided by.
Okay, he's a joke. What he says right there, he openly admits that the party that wants the permanent ceasefire is Hamas. That's what he's pushing for right now. And he's admitting that he is aligned with Hamas. And then he has to try and walk that back by suggesting that Israel is engaging in carpet bombing of Gaza. That is the stupidest proposition in military history. Israel is not engaging in carpet bombing. If Israel were engaging in carpet bombing, there would be a million Gazans dead. Not the fake 30,000 being reported by Hamas. Millions. These cities that Israel has taken, places like Gaza City or Khan Yunis, these are places with 600,000 people, 450,000 people. Carpet bombing? Is he out of his mind? I mean, he is. He doesn't have much of a mind left. Then Biden warns of a red line. So the last time a Democratic president drew a red line, it was with regard to Bashar Assad using chemical weapons against his own people in Syria. That was Barack Obama. Then he proceeded, of course, to walk away from the red line and hand complete control of Syria over to the Russians, which has worked out fantastically for everyone. But here is Joe Biden drawing a red line and then saying that nothing will happen if the red line is crossed. So again, he's discombobulated, he's confused, and the reason is because he is pandering to his far left base.
Do you have a red line? For instance, would invasion of Rafah, which you have urged him not to do, would that be a red line?
It is a red line, but I'm never going to leave Israel. The defense of Israel is still critical, so there's no red line. I'm going to cut off all weapons so they don't have the Iron Dome to protect them. They don't have, but there's red lines that if he crosses, and he cannot have 30,000 more Palestinians dead as a consequence.
He's using
of
Hamas numbers.
There's other ways to deal with with the trauma caused by Hamas.
The trauma caused by Hamas? They're currently holding hostages. They killed 1,200 people. Is that a trauma? Or is that an act of war by a terrorist group? And by the way, when he says that there are other ways to deal with it, everyone's all ears, Joe. You name it. By the way, even according to Hamas, of the 30,000, which again is a number that's made up by Hamas, of that 30,000, you're talking at least 12,000 terrorists dead. So he's against the 12,000 terrorists being dead also? Like, it's perfectly absurd. And again, he's trying to transmute his criticisms of Israel into criticisms of Netanyahu so as to suggest that if Netanyahu would go, then magically everything would be better. He thinks that will please his left-wing base, that if Netanyahu, but let's be clear, if Netanyahu went, he would be succeeded by Benny Gantz. Benny Gantz would then do the exact same thing, and Joe Biden would be in the exact same position, because guess who doesn't care about who's prime minister of Israel? Every person in Dearborn, Michigan, they don't care at all. The people he's pandering to are not going to be pandered to by a simple replacement of Bibi Netanyahu with a political rival who does exactly the same thing. But again, this is the dumb political game that Joe Biden is playing. Biden was on a hot mic, and he said that Bibi has to, quote unquote, come to Jesus. Which again, they was going to have a come to Jesus meeting with Bibi. Now we all know that's colloquial. Also, do you think Joe Biden would ever say that about Hamas? They need to have he's going to have a come to Jesus meeting with Hamas. I guarantee you that is not a thing Joe Biden would ever say about a radical Muslim group.
Don't worry, Mr.
This is one of the big
ones. Great speech. Really nice. I was telling the secretary, you know, I was in Jordan and Israel. This weekend, and just, you know, you got to keep pushing what you're doing on the humanitarian stuff and all this stuff. So,
I told him, baby, I'm going to get this. I said, baby, you know, I'm going to come to Jesus.
Sir, just.
I'm going to have my head good.
He's going to have a come to Jesus meeting with Bibi Netanyahu. And then Biden, of course, goes on national TV and he says that Netanyahu is hurting more than he's helping. The amount of ire that he is putting on the Israeli government right now, fighting terrorists, is significantly higher than the amount of ire that he's directing toward the actual terrorists.
What's the come to Jesus part? What tough love are you going to give to the prime minister?
What's happening is he has a right to defend Israel, a right to continue to pursue Hamas, but he must pay more attention to the innocent lives being lost as a consequence of the actions taken. He's hurting, in my view, he's hurting Israel more than helping Israel by making the rest of the world. It's contrary to what Israel stands for. And I think it's a big mistake. So I want to see a ceasefire.
He wants to see it. So literally in the same interview where he claims that Hamas wants a ceasefire, he says he also wants a ceasefire. And again, this is all part and parcel of the left-wing belief that the West should lose. Again, Joe Biden does not stand for the West. He has never stood for the West in its battles with opposing enemy forces. He is not. Just across his career, he's always been rather conciliatory toward people who despise the United States. And that continues today. Again, this is part and parcel of a broader coalition of people on the hard left who are very eager to sort of pull a Vietnam on Israel. And the Vietnam War was lost by left-wing forces at home who decided that the United States had to lose for moral reasons. And the same thing is happening right now. Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs of California, she's doing the same thing. She says there's no way to defeat Hamas, which is weird because Israel seems to have found a way to defeat Hamas, which is to kill the members of Hamas.
Let's get into what Molly was talking about right there. We have the president who said, look, we're going to build this pier. Okay. And yet there are many who are criticizing and say, why not do as Molly was suggesting, and that is use the truck convoys. Let's get aid into that much more quickly. Use some pressure. Use your leverage on Benjamin Netanyahu to get that done. What are your thoughts on all that?
Look, I think the ability to get as much aid in as quickly as possible is important, and all of the various levers we have to do that should be done because we know the humanitarian situation is catastrophic.
Dire.
Yes. Now, there is existing U.S. law that says that actually our allies, anyone we're working with, has to allow our humanitarian assistance in. Hmm. And so I absolutely think that's right. We need to be doing more to make sure Israel lets more aid in. But at the end of the day, the only way to really make sure we are addressing these famine-like conditions is to get a permanent and immediate ceasefire, for Hamas to release the hostages, for Bibi Netanyahu to stop his indiscriminate bombing campaign that we know is not actually militarily doing what it needs to do. Mm-hmm. There is no
military expert
to defeat Hamas. There just isn't.
There's no military way to defeat Hamas. Again, this lie that there's no military way to defeat a military enemy is absurd. Even in guerrilla war, the way that you win a guerrilla war is by killing a lot of the guerrilla terrorists and by establishing bases of safety that are 100% safe and then spreading those bases of safety across broader spans of the population. This is exactly what the British did in Malaya during the 1950s. But again, this has no relation to reality. What it really has to do with is a generalized feeling on the left that you have to sympathize with the world's worst people. The best indicator of that actually came via Joe Biden, not with regard to what's going on in Israel right now, but with regard to Laken Riley's murderer. So you'll recall that in the State of the Union last week, our febrile president of the United States decided that he was going to take up the situation with Laken Riley, who is the young woman who was killed while jogging at the University of Georgia campus by an illegal immigrant. He was prompted to do this by Republicans who were wearing pins with Laken Riley's name on them. And so during the State of the Union address, Joe Biden picks up the pin, botches Laken Riley's name. He picks it up. He says Lincoln Riley, which is the wrong name. He literally has it right in front of him, and the old fart can't read. So he's like, oh, Lincoln Riley. And then he says, Lincoln Riley was killed by an illegal. And you think, okay, that's half true. Laken Riley was killed by an illegal. And then he continues, but how many thousands were killed by illegals? Right, downplaying the actual murder because, of course, it's not thousands of people. I mean, it's only one poor young woman who was murdered. I mean, do we really care that much? We're going to change our entire immigration policy based on this poor young woman. In any case, the left went nuts. Why did they go nuts? They went nuts because he used the word illegal to describe a murderer. So Joe Biden had to walk that back over the weekend. He had to walk that back. This demonstrates full scale how the radical left has taken over this party. This is totally insane. It's politically insane. You can't find five people in the United States to rub together who don't work in legacy media, who think it's a bad thing that Joe Biden called a murderer an illegal. No one thinks that. But Joe Biden had to go out of his way to do this because, again, he is betting in this election cycle that he needs to get his low propensity radical base out to vote a lot because he's losing independents. And so what that means is doing stupid things like going on national TV and suggesting not only that he shouldn't have used the word illegal, but that illegal immigrants built the country. That is the thing he says in this interview. Here we go.
I noticed the look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber and you saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was priceless. You feigned shock at seeing her. But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect.
He's not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. I mean, they're the people who built the country, says Joe Biden, our illegal immigrants. This is a party that's lost its moral moorings. This is a party where Joe Biden is spending more time ripping on the elected prime minister of Israel fighting for the survival of his country against Iranian-sponsored proxy terror groups. He spends more time ripping on Netanyahu, even as Israel ships in trucks filled with aid, but there ain't no one to drive them because it turns out Hamas is hijacking all of them. And then he spends his time defending illegal immigrant murderers because we wouldn't want to call an illegal immigrant murderer an illegal immigrant. That would be bad. We can't say that that person's an illegal. That person's undocumented, and undocumented people built this country. The sympathy level for the actual victims is gone from the Democratic Party. Because again, in the victimizer categorization that the left performs, anybody who is a member of an identity group that does not match with the left's identity hierarchy must immediately be cast as the victimizer or irrelevant. Those are the only two choices on the table. We'll get to more on this momentarily. First, the iconic leftist tears tumbler. It's back. Oh, yes. Behold its glory. Everyone wants one. There's only one way to get it, by becoming a Daily Wire Plus annual member. Not only does your annual membership give you unparalleled access to ad-free, uncensored shows from your favorite Daily Wire hosts, on-demand hit movies, series, groundbreaking documentaries, now that membership also includes our leftist tears tumbler. Soccer moms have their Stanleys, but you're raising the bar with the iconic leftist tears tumbler. New Daily Wire Plus insider annual members get that tumbler for free, or put your money where your values are and join us on the front line in the fight to reshape culture with an all-access pass. Get two leftist tears tumblers for free, too. Join now. Get your free leftist tears tumbler at dailywireplus.com. Okay, meanwhile, now, Joe Biden, obviously, he's pandering to his left because he believes that he is going to lose. He's trying to hide that by saying over and over that he's winning. So over the weekend, he was asked specifically about his poor polling numbers, and then he tried to meander his way around the question.
So, President, what's your message to Democrats who are concerned about your poll numbers?
My poll numbers, the last five polls you guys don't report, I'm winning. Five in a row. You guys only look at the New York Times. They're a great paper.
I'm winning. He's not actually winning. In the Real Clear Politics polling average, Donald Trump is up by about 2 points. And in the last five polls, he is up in the Emerson poll, 49 to 51. He's up 51-49 over Trump in the Emerson poll. He's down 44-42 in the Economist poll. He's up by one in the Morning Consult poll, 44-43. And Trump is up 52-48 in the CBS News poll. By the way, if Joe Biden wins the election by one vote, 1 point in the popular vote, he's going to lose the election. This is the other thing that people should recognize, is that Donald Trump actually lost the popular vote to Hillary Clinton by several percentage points and still won the election. It matters where you get the votes, not just how many votes you get. Joe Biden, for his part, has cut a new ad. The ad basically acknowledges that he is incredibly old. If you find this convincing, then, you know, I suppose more power to you. Here we go.
Look, I'm not a young guy. That's no secret. But here's the deal. I understand how to get things done for the American people. I led the country through the COVID crisis. Today, we have the strongest economy in the world. I passed a law that lowers prescription drug prices, caps insulin at $35 a month for seniors. For 4 years, Donald Trump tried to pass an infrastructure law, and he failed. I got it done. Now we're rebuilding America. I passed the biggest law in history to combat climate change because our future depends on it. Donald Trump took away the freedom of women to choose. I'm determined to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land again. Donald Trump believes the job of the president is to take care of Donald Trump. I believe the job of the president is to fight for you, the American people, and that's what I'm doing. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Can we do one more take?
Look, I'm very young, energetic, and handsome. What the hell am I doing this for?
Approved by Joe Biden. What I love most about that commercial is that there is not a take of him longer than 2.5 seconds. And you know why that is. That's because when there's a take of him that is longer than 2.5 seconds, it turns into this. Here he was fighting the teleprompter again.
And what they're going to do is to ensure a national, really endanger our national security. They're going to expend, are they going to expand personal freedoms? Well, that's what we're going to do. They're going to do everything to not grow our economy. Literally, they have no platform. They're against everything, not for anything, except the things that are the wrong things. What they're running on, I'll tell you what they're running on. They're running backwards.
Mm-hmm. What is this old coot jabbering about?
But guess what?
I do love Jill Biden on the side of these photos. She looks so nervous all the time, and she should. She should, because she might actually have to physically prop him up. And frankly, he's a heavy load. She constantly looks so stressed out standing next to him publicly. And there's a reason for that, because she is watching the old coot degrading in real time. Meanwhile, Donald Trump was on the attack on Biden over the weekend, as he should have been. He slammed Joe Biden over his walk back for using the word illegal to describe, you know, a murderer. Here was Donald Trump over the weekend.
When I say he was an illegal alien, he was an illegal immigrant, he was an illegal migrant, and he shouldn't have been in our country, and he never would have been under the Trump policy. And Biden should be apologizing to this killer.
That is correct. He should be apologizing for apologizing to that killer. And by the way, that's going to be a Republican campaign ad from now until the election. I think people are forgetting that in 2004, George W. Bush won the election on the basis of suburban moms who were afraid for their safety after the terror attacks of 9/11. And Trump is not wrong when he says that suburban women should be afraid for their safety, given the fact that Joe Biden has allowed millions and millions and millions of illegal immigrants into the country without any vetting whatsoever.
The suburban, they always say suburban housewives, they want something that's very important, security. They don't want illegal immigrants coming into our country. They don't want illegal immigrants knocking on their front door and saying, I'm going to use your kitchen and I'm going to use your bedroom, and there's not a damn thing. And that's the nice ones.
Okay, so again, Donald Trump is not wrong about any of this. Most Americans are not feeling sanguine about Joe Biden's tenure in office, which leaves Democrats to attack Trump. George Stephanopoulos, again, it is incredible to me that George Stephanopoulos is used as a quote unquote neutral anchor. This is insane to me. George Stephanopoulos was literally the strategist for Hillary and Bill Clinton. This would be like if Fox News used Karl Rove, not as a a sort of right-wing elections analyst, but used him as a full-scale objective news reporter. In any case, George Stephanopoulos had on Nancy Mace, the very attention-grabbing congresswoman from South Carolina, and he asked her about backing Trump in the worst possible way, and she shellacked him for it, as well she should have.
Bennett, you've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Mm-hmm. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not gonna do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald
Trump. No, you
Trump.
Are shaming
You've
me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
Okay, she's right about this. She could have also pointed out, you worked for Bill Clinton. You worked for Bill Clinton. And Joe Biden has been somewhat credibly accused of sexual assault. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The reason that you back a politician in this day and age has very little to do, unfortunately, with the character of the politician. That's not the way it works. We are well beyond that. It ended during the Clinton era. It is because of the policies that person holds and the person that you are voting against. George Stephanopoulos knows that, having worked for a person credibly accused of rape multiple times. But that didn't seem to bother George Stephanopoulos. So good for Nancy Mace for pushing back on that. All right, coming up, we'll bring you the latest on the situation in Haiti. Remember that time that Donald Trump called Haiti a bleep hole country and the entire media were like, no, Haiti's great. Haiti is not great. If you're not a member, become a member. Use code Shapiro. Check out for 2 months free on all annual plans. Click that link in the description and join us.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best. And that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.